Great singing, and a shout out to Caden, who's with us this morning at the piano, and I really appreciate him being with us this morning. I did forget to mention it by way of prayers. My own personal prayer is that one of these days places will open, so we can get our hair cut. I think it's only a short amount of time. If I were to comb it down a bit and my hair was cut, I'm getting close to the way my hair looked in the 70s, but one of these days. It would be interesting if we all came back and we didn't recognize each other from the color of our hair or the length of our hair and those kind of things, but all good. Well, growing up, you were probably told, just as I was, and on numerous occasions, be good. And it's interesting that in the New Testament lesson for today, Peter begins this particular section by telling his audience and us the same thing. Be good. And before we can even ask why he says that, he tells us. He says, there will be persecution and suffering in spite of doing good. But there's something about the way we carry ourselves and conduct ourselves around other people that has an effect. Because the doing good that he's talking about has to do with being a tool for evangelism. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. It's almost like by design, our design, our nature as followers of Jesus is to shine or to reflect. So regardless of what's going on, we have a message to get out. Christians must be ready always to explain their hope. So it's to be ready, to be prepared. Why? Ultimately, it's because so people can see Jesus. And so we don't get in the way of people seeing Jesus. And that's kind of the bottom line, that we don't get in the way. Believers are to be ready to speak about their hope. And hope is such an incredibly powerful thing. He says in verse 15, in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Some other translations say, set apart the Lord. In other words, it's where it starts in our hearts. The reverence in our hearts for God and who Jesus is kind of is the beginning place. That kind of puts into play the way in which our lives are lived. But it's a willingness to speak up for him and to be a witness about his saving grace. So Christians are expected to be prepared to speak about God's salvation of his people through Jesus Christ. Because the bottom line is this. We want people to have hope. And by saying we want people to have hope is another way of saying we want people to have Christ. Because if you think about it, hope is the very thing that sustains people and keeps them going. Hope is the very thing that gives people strength to carry on when things just kind of look completely dismal. And it's not just for the people out there that we think about that maybe on our hearts, but it's for us as well. We need hope. So how we share begins with our attitudes. Because Peter says it must be done with gentleness and respect. So that those who speak against your behavior in Christ may be, in a sense, ashamed of their slander. So Christians are to defend the Lord in a humble way, in a respectful way. Why? Again, so people can see Jesus. It's interesting, the second half of chapter 2 and almost the entire part of chapter 3 deals with this. It's how we as Christians relate to people in our lives. And how do we live godly lives in a kind of maybe an unbelieving world? And why it matters. If we do back up into chapter 2, he says this in verses 11 and 12. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. And then he says, for it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. So he says, the why is so that you can almost silence, or literally it's to muzzle their ignorance. So our constant, in a sense, doing good acts like a constant muzzling. Why? And he says it, that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. It's almost the exact same thing Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5 of Matthew. He says, let your light so shine that people may see your good works and not come and say great things about you, but that they may glorify your Father in heaven. In a sense, we get out of the way so they can see Christ. See, living an example of what it looks like is Paul in Athens. In the New Testament lesson for today in Acts chapter 17, Paul comes into Athens and he has time. He takes that walk around the city. He took it all in. And the one thing he notices that it was a very religious, very spiritual place. He noticed gods and idols everywhere. And then Paul, in this meeting, he says, hey, let me talk about this. Let me tell you about the god you overlooked, because they had this god to an unknown idol, you know, in case they forgot one. He said, let me tell you about that particular one. And we can learn a lot about Paul when it comes to outreach and having the right attitude toward reaching people. Again, it starts kind of like with using examples that can be understood, that people can relate to. Kind of establish a common ground by emphasizing what's agreed upon. I mean, is it hard to agree with people that there's suffering in the world, or that there's selfishness in the world, or maybe there's certain things that just seem to be more sacred or holy than others? And by finding common ground, it becomes kind of a place to start with. And use those examples as a launching pad to share a message about Christ, or begin talking about your own story. The one thing is true, Paul didn't hold back the truth. Maybe he changed his approach based on his audience, but he never changed the message. So you never change or tamper with the core message. And his message, there is but one God. And that God, he's not made with hands. He's not confined. He's not some kind of a needy God that says, please love me, please sacrifice to me. That's not the God of Scripture. But Paul says, you know what? We are all from this one God. And this God wants all people to seek him and to know him. And he's alive. He's not distant. He's physical. He's close. You can know him. You can have a relationship with him. As a matter of fact, we are his children. And kind of describe this again, he just kind of taps into some poetry or some literature that they would all relate to. So again, he would tailor and package his message for the crowd he was trying to reach. He was always looking for something that they could relate to, kind of like exactly the way Jesus did through his parables. Find an object people could understand, quote ideas that maybe they had also learned. He's on their turf. And when we're on other people's turf, we find things that we can use. And he always wanted to come back to the resurrected Christ. Maybe there's people that you know in your own life who maybe really know nothing about the gospel message. You would talk to that person different than maybe someone who maybe grew up in the church, or maybe who knows a lot of spiritual stuff. The conversation's different. Again, if Paul were in this context today, he'd probably be thinking about maybe a movie he had recently saw, some TV show, maybe some lyrics from a song. Find a common ground and say, hey, you know what the way this topic is dealt with or whatever, it kind of reminds me of relating to people. And when they heard about the resurrection of the dead, what does it say happened? Some of these people, they sneered at him. They made fun of him. But others said, Paul, we want to hear more about this. Can we come back? Can we talk more about this subject? And those are great words to hear. We want to hear you again. They're willing to listen, to talk more. And Paul had other chances. And even though a number of those that responded were maybe not as great as other experiences he had, Paul didn't quit. He didn't give up. You never give up. Because different people, different situations, different contexts, maybe they're not all that easy. And maybe there is some opposition. Maybe there is something that happens. But Christians can and do suffer injustice because they are Christians. It can happen at work. It can happen in the family. It can happen in the community. It can even happen among your friends. You know, I think of, junior high and high school and college students. You see what's going on around you. You know what's going on around you. And it's incredibly difficult to fight off pressures for acceptance and conformity. And nobody wants to be or felt like they're being judged or looked down on or made, made out to be something that they know they're not. But then also at the same time, Christians, I believe, want to stay strong in their faith. No Christian wants to compromise or give in. Everyone I know, at least, there's a willingness to want to be able to stand. But sometimes things start happening. But it's this commitment. I want to remain true. I want to remain faithful to the teaching of Jesus. And all I know is over years and years and years of experience and seeing other people, one thing I've come to know is that people truly respect people who have convictions. And even though you may not get that impression from some people, people want to know who stands their ground and who believes in something and are willing to stick up for what they believe. And right friends are so important. To have those friends that you can seek, that you know that are going to be with you, and that also have a desire to be kind of committed in the same way. I often tell people, and I do the same thing, you pray for friends. You pray for your kids' friends. You pray for your own friends, that God would put the right people in your life. Because pressures are forms of persecution in a sense that they're kind of socially driven things that, can help prevent us from seeking Christ. And we need to get our eyes off the problems of being accepted and get them focused on Christ. But what a great thing it is to have people around you that can hold you accountable. You can look out for one another. So, so important. So important. I remember back, this was like forever ago. I was teaching at my other church I came from, and I was teaching a Bible study to high school students on a Sunday morning. And high school students, and we were talking about the same subject, and this one girl, I'll never forget, she spoke up and said, I told my friends at school that I was a Christian, and they laughed at me. And I kind of went down this thing about, even Jesus said, they're going to make fun of you if you stand for me. And he says, no, they didn't laugh at me because I said I was a Christian. They laughed at me because they didn't believe that I was a Christian when I told them I was a Christian. I said, all right, now, Houston, we do have a problem here, because it has to do maybe with the way you're living your life a bit, if they're going to laugh at you and make fun of you because, no, you're not. But at the same time, we need to understand, the way we live. in the way we present ourselves in this world as followers of Christ. Outreach with the right attitude begins when? When believers just love the Lord Jesus Christ, they just want to follow him, and they need his strength, they know, to be able to stay the course. And they just have a heart for people. And they ask God, just give me a heart for people, to see people the way you do. And you want to learn, you want to grow, so that if people do ask those questions, that you have something to share, that you have something to say. And a desire to find ways to relate the message of the gospel in ways that are understandable and relatable. Thing here in 1 Peter 3, it reminds us, any kind of outreach should be done with gentleness and respect and humility. And like Paul's world, our world is completely filled with objects of worship. And many people, as he would say, are kind of groping around. They're just kind of trying to grab at something, looking for something to grab a hold of that may offer just some kind of hope, or some kind of thing that would give them a sense of inner peace. People want that. So maybe our prayer is, God, help us to just kind of take hold of those hands that are trying to grab onto something, and that we could help lead them to Jesus, where they could see him and hear from him, and introduce them to the one who made them, who loves them, who died for them, and is offering them a gift of true peace, of true hope. That's what we want. Don't we all want people just to have hope in life? Another way of saying, we want people to have Christ. All of this, so that people can see Jesus and see him. So God, in any way that you can this week, through my life, through my attitude, through whatever I do by way of service, may it be used in some way. So in a sense, it kind of takes me out of the way, but people can see Jesus. I pray for that for you this week, that God would use you in a special way. And some people would say, wow, thank you, God, for showing up today in my life, for listening to me, for knowing where I'm at and giving me what I needed. God will do that in your life this week. And what a good thing that is. So now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.